fourth week of our series, There Is More. Last week, Kim talked about there is more to our calling and purpose. Today, I've simply titled my message, There Is More to Church. There is more to church. If you come to church pretty often, when was the last time you thought and just kind of asked yourself and looked around and thought, how important is what we're doing right now? How important is it to attend, faithfully attend, be a part of a community called the church? How valuable is this really? Over the last few decades especially, there's been a growing thought that's kind of been in our society, especially among Christians in our society, that really church is not essential to the Christian faith. Really, my faith is between God and I and just us two, and I don't need to go to church to be a Christian. I don't need to be a part of a church to be a Christian. I can live my faith in solitude just between myself and God. Now, I'll say this right off the bat. Do you have to go to church to be a Christian? No, but what we're gonna see is this. Never one time in the New Testament is there ever a mention of church apart, or mention of the Christian faith rather, apart from the body of Christ. We are saved by putting our faith in Jesus, and that's a personal decision between us and God. But at the same time, life in Christianity is meant to be lived with other people. But what we find is statistics are saying more and more people, especially in America, don't believe that to be true. Pew Research did a study this last year in 2025, and they looked at this. The percentage of people, Christians, who say personal worship can replace church attendance. So personal worship between me and God, personal devotion between me and God can replace corporate worship in a setting like this. Among evangelical Protestants, I don't love that wording, but that's kind of what we would be, 52% agree that personal worship can replace church attendance. Among mainline Protestants, 71% agree. Among Catholics, 67% agree that personal worship can replace corporate worship, the gathering called the church. And like I mentioned, although personal faith is essential, I have to have a personal walk with God, a personal relationship with God. We need to, as believers, obviously have that, but the New Testament never treats it as sufficient on its own to walk out the Christian faith in this life. Because God's design is a shared faith lived in community where believers grow, serve, and are formed together. So in a few minutes, I'm gonna give us some five practical benefits of church. But before I do, I just wanna look at two quick passages to kind of set up the theology of church. And over the years, I have preached many sermons about the theology of church and the doctrine behind what we're doing today. And I would love for you to go look at any of those messages. They're all on our YouTube channel, but I'm gonna be very practical today. But I do wanna set this up theologically just for a minute. Jesus said this in Matthew 16, 18. It's a very famous line when he's talking to his disciples. He says, "On this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." If you've been in church very long, you've probably heard that verse or a different version of it. But Jesus says a couple very important things. He's building his church, and it will prevail. What does this mean? Why is this verse important to the theology or the doctrine of church? Why? Because the church is Jesus's idea. It's not my idea. It's not a pastor's idea. It's not some random group of people's idea. It was Jesus's idea. It was his project. It is his project, and it is his mission. And the language in this verse, when he's talking about the church, it's an active language in the original language. He's talking about something communal. What Jesus is saying when he says, "I'm gonna build my church," build my, in the Greek, ekklesia, what he's saying is, I'm going to build a new kind of people, not just a group of individual private believers. I'm building a group. I'm building a new nation within the nations. That's what Jesus is saying. And in Acts chapter 2, we have the famous chapter where Jesus has already ascended. The Holy Spirit has come earlier in Acts chapter 2, and now, for the first time ever in history, we're getting very early descriptions of what the church actually looks like. And Acts 2:42 is one of those descriptions, the earliest description. It says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. That is a beautiful description of the church. It's the first definition of the church. Why does this verse matter? It matters because, again, this is the earliest picture of Christian life post Jesus's resurrection and ascension. Faith is immediately, when you research the early believers, faith, the Christian faith, is immediately lived out together and not alone. Christianity is not just an inward belief, it's a shared practice. And the truth is this, really, the United States and maybe some of Western society, but it's mainly the United States, Christians here are the only ones in the entire world that believe that Christianity is an individual faith. Because all through the New Testament, we see that it's not an individual faith. It's a corporate faith that we walk out hand in hand with other believers. Belonging, biblical belonging to a church is not passive inclusion. It's covenant connection. It's not just coming and attending and leaving. It's figuring out a way to make this something other than something we spectate and watch, but rather a group or a body that we can belong to and find meaning in. So today, like I mentioned, I want to be very practical today. There's a lot of sermons, again, on the theology of church where I get pretty deep in the past, but I think people today, if you're like me, we just want to know, why does this matter? Why does it matter so much? Why are we told we need to go more? Why are we told we need to be involved? What are the five practical benefits of church rooted in scripture? If you're taking notes, number one is this: consistency in a chaotic world. Consistency in a chaotic world. Here's the truth. Church creates a healthy rhythm in our lives in a world where our lives can very quickly get chaotic. It creates this healthy rhythm. I want you to think about church, and how I view church is like an anchor. No matter what I'm going through in life, no matter what transitions our family is in, no matter what's happening, jobs that are changing, schools that are changing, graduations, marriages, all the things that are happening, I know that the one constant in my life is the community I belong to, the church. It's an anchor. It's the healthiest rhythm that we have in our lives. All the other rhythms will be done, but the anchor remains. And church can be a weekly anchor that recenters your life around what matters most. This is why it's so important if you're parents with little kids or even grandparents, and maybe you're raising kids or whatever it might be. This is why it's so important for families, Christian families, to say this: guys, no matter what, this family, whatever your last name is, ours is Woodward. Woodwards, go to church. We do that on Sundays. We're not gonna prioritize school over church. We're not gonna prioritize all these other things. Sure, there's some vacations. Sure, there's some seasons. I'm not all about you have to 100% attendance. I'm not saying that. But what I'm talking about is this: you establish with your family, there's an anchor in our lives. And that anchor is something Jesus started, the church of Jesus Christ. It's an anchor. I think we can clap to that, the anchor of our lives. Because what we know is this: people don't drift into health. We drift into chaos. We drift into disorder. But I want to tell you today, the one way to stop the drift into chaos is to be anchored at least once a week. At least. My family's motto was, if the doors are open, we're there. It was Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, serving at events, worship night, conferences. We're just there. I think a really healthy thing would be for our kids to know this is second home. Not because we want to take away from your life, not because God wants to take away from your life, but because the church is meant to add to it and be the anchor I'm talking about. Hebrews 10, 24 through 25, the writer of Hebrews in the New Testament says this: let us be concerned for one another, to help one another, show love, and to do good. Let us not give up the habit of meeting together, as some are doing. Instead, let us encourage one another all the more. Other translations say, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves, as some are in the habit of doing. I think this verse is challenging to all of us because it's prioritizing the weekly anchor in our lives. It's prioritizing the gathering, but again, it goes so much more than just attending. I want you to think about this, how much the world changes around us. Everything's changing so fast. Time goes by so fast. Church gives your family and your life something to build around. And if we're being honest, church can be the one constant in your family's life for a lifetime. I want to explain this. I really want you to think about this. Maybe you're kind of wondering, do I disagree with him? I don't really know where I'm at. Here's what I want you to think about. Sports come to an end. Jobs come to an end and jobs change. Hobbies change. Schools change and school eventually ends. Neighbors move. Every other part of our life changes or ends except for church. It's the one constant that transcends teenage years, college years, transcends jobs and retirement, transcends all the other events in our lives that come and go. Church can be the one constant that lasts a lifetime. I'm 42 years old. I have a handful of friends in this church. I would say even more. There's probably 50 people in our church that have known me or I have known since I was born in one church my entire life. And let me tell you something that has benefited my life, because school friends have come and gone. Sports friends have come and gone. Jobs have changed. Everything else in my life has shifted and moved, but I have an anchor that has transcended all of them, and it's the church. Give your family the gift of the anchor being the church. It's a constant. Number two, the second practical benefit of church is relationships that show up in every season. Relationships that show up in every season. I was talking to somebody the other day and they were saying, you know, I remember a couple decades ago in my life, I had really good close friends. And they were saying now, as we get older and older, it's so easy for close friends to just become acquaintances and for us to walk around sometimes going, do I have any close friends? Do I have anyone I can actually share life with? Church offers relationships that go deeper than acquaintances. Church offers that. I'm not saying it's perfect. There's no such thing as perfect people, but there are such thing as present people. People that are in our lives that won't leave when things get hard. People who celebrate with you when things are good. People who sit with you when life falls apart. Pray with you when you run out of words. Show up with meals, texts, and just their presence to say, I'm with you in the storm. Of course, we can find that in other places, and I'm not trying to diminish other organizations and family and friendships and hobbies and things we have, but I'm telling you, there's an underlying current of the relationships we have in church because we know the common denominator is our faith. The common denominator is the foundation we stand on. Church isn't just where you celebrate wins, it's where you survive losses. This is huge because scripture commands us to be with people when they're in the best days of their lives and also the worst days. Romans 12, 15 says, rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep. Do you have people in your life that will rejoice with you when you're rejoicing? That will weep with you when you weep? Galatians 6, 2 says, carry each other's burdens. And both of these scriptures, by the way, are letters written to churches, right? Carry each other's burdens. And in this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. Again, no church is perfect. But let me tell you something. There have been people my entire life that have helped me carry my burdens in this church. I have helped people carry their burdens. And that has transcended, again, every timetable in my life, teenage years, college years, all the different times in life, because that's what the church is meant to be founded on. Again, the local church isn't perfect. But I stand here today as a product of the church, a product of the relationships I have in church. I've walked with people through so many things in life, the best days and the absolute worst days of their lives, through loss and through death, through so many tragedies. And oftentimes I've wondered, or I've even talked with my wife, my dad, my mom, different people close to me, and said, can you imagine going through life without the church? I can't imagine going through life without the relationships, the deep relationships I have in the church. I can't imagine going through the greatest losses of my life, in my life, without my friends in church. I can't imagine, because the church is who comes around us when we're falling apart, when we can't stand, and when all the other relationships run out. It's the church people that are there. And I'm telling you, again, I have to say this a lot, no one's perfect, but I'm telling you, if you can move beyond just attending and put roots down, you can have relationships that will sustain your life through the highest ups and the lowest downs in your life. Those relationships are there because it's our calling to live according to it. Build your life on the church. Number three, is this helpful so far? All right, number three. You're a little quiet for an 11 o'clock service. I'm just making sure, all right? Number three, a broader perspective on life. One of the benefits is you get a broader perspective on life. One of the things I love about church is it pulls you out of self-focus. You get pretty miserable in church very quickly if we enter in thinking church is about me. All of a sudden, the most miserable people I've ever known in my life are Christians who think church is about them. And what we understand is this: part of the reason God wants us to walk out faith together is when we're walking out faith together, you can't think only about you. You've got to carry your brother or sister's burdens. You're gonna be there for them in the ups and the downs, right? It gives us a broader perspective on life. Because if you're like me, as humans, we know we will naturally gravitate to thinking about ourselves. And what a beautiful thing, the church doesn't let us do it. It reminds us, not only on that side, but it also reminds us with a broader perspective that you're not alone. You're not alone. You're not the only one going through pain. That's not meant to diminish your pain, but it's meant to encourage you to know that there are people in the room here at North that understand and say, you know what, on this one, I understand. Let me walk with you through this pain. It gives us a broader perspective, yeah, to know we're not alone, but also to know you're a part of something bigger. We're a part of something bigger that goes beyond this life, and also that God is working beyond your personal story. Again, the reason why Jesus doesn't want us walking out the faith alone is because how miserable, again, would we be to think all of this is just about me? God does love you, absolutely. Jesus died for you, absolutely. But he doesn't want you thinking only about you, absolutely. Now, all of a sudden, with a broader perspective, we have more peace, more joy, because we're not deteriorating, because we're only looking inward. Faith stops, when we look at this, faith stops being just about me and my problems and starts being about God and his purposes on earth. I'll never forget, in 2018, Mandy and I had the opportunity to go to a Christian leadership conference in London, England. And the conference was just called the Leadership Conference, and it took place in Royal Albert Hall. And what I loved so much about this conference, I honestly don't remember who spoke, and I don't even remember practically what we learned, I'm just being honest. But I'll tell you what I took from this conference. I was standing in this arena, Mandy and I next to each other. Every denomination you can possibly think of on earth within Christianity was represented. Every denomination, every nationality, every language you can think of from all around the world was gathered in that arena. And I'll never forget this moment where the worship leader in one moment stopped singing and the music kept playing. And he said, I invite everyone in the arena, let's bring heaven to earth. I invite everyone in the arena to begin to sing this worship song in your native language. And all of a sudden, thousands of people were singing this worship song in hundreds of different languages, and tears just began to stream down my face. I'm looking around at hundreds of people near us. Everyone's crying because you get this glimpse of knowing this is so much bigger than just my faith with God. It's so much bigger than just the church I pastor. It's so much bigger just than what God is doing in Albuquerque or in the United States. God is a global God. He's a universal God. He cares about every nation, every language, every color. And when we're standing there, you get this broader perspective of God, we get to be a part of the greatest mission that has ever been laid before this earth, to build the church of Jesus Christ, and it aligns with every single nation in every language. I loved that moment because church reminds us we're a part of a community. Right now around the world, in every single nation, we are a part of a faith that meets people where they are, and they're gathered right now doing exactly what we're doing today. Number four, the fourth practical benefit is the presence of God experienced together. The presence of God experienced together. A few weeks ago, I talked about the presence of God. I titled my message in this series, "There Is More to God." And we talked about those personal one-on-one encounters with God that we need in our lives, and we do. I preached a whole sermon on it. You can encounter God personally at any moment in your life by leaning into God and his presence. But let me tell you something. There's something special about believers gathering in corporate worship and the manifestation of the presence of God when we gather. The New Testament never diminishes personal devotion to God and personal faith. It never diminishes it. Jesus talks a lot about personal prayer, and the Holy Spirit dwells within us personally. And yet, though, again and again, Scripture points us to a shared experience of God's presence when believers come together. There's just the presence of God. When we were worshiping a few minutes ago, it's why every single time when we worship, if you can eliminate distraction, we can sense the presence of God. And it's more than just when I sense the presence of God when I'm alone in the car. I'm looking at my brothers and sisters in Christ, and the Spirit in me is linking up with the Spirit in my neighbor, and we are lifting up the name of Jesus. And all of a sudden, the presence of God is here in a more tangible way than we could ever experience otherwise. Jesus said this in Matthew 18, 20, "For where two or three gather in my name, there I am with them." This isn't limiting Jesus' presence. He's highlighting a distinct way he shows up when we gather. What he's saying is, when you gather, I want you to prioritize the gathering. When you gather, I'm there. Acts chapter 2, like I've already mentioned, all the believers were gathered in the upper room waiting on the presence of the power of the Holy Spirit to come. And Acts chapter 2 begins with, all the believers were gathered together in one place. And what happens after they're gathered together in one place? The power and presence of the Holy Spirit falls in the room. 1 Corinthians 14 is a really interesting passage. The Apostle Paul is writing, and he's talking about the church in Corinth, and they're all gathered in a place, and they're worshiping God. They're gathered, lifting up the name of Christ, and non-believers enter the room where they are. And Paul quotes what the non-believers say when they witnessed and felt what was happening in the room. And he simply says this in 1 Corinthians 14, 24. He quotes these people because the people came in and said, "God is really here among you." That's what the non-believers said. When they experienced the believers worshiping corporately, they stood back and said, "God is really here." Non-believers, that's my desire for this place. People that are searching for Christ, maybe they're here, they don't believe, and whatever it is, I want people to stand in this room when we're worshiping and just to be able to sense something's here. There's a presence here, and it's not a hateful presence. It's a powerful, loving presence. God is really among you. And I believe he is when we worship and when we gather like this as the church. Corporate worship, you can say it like this. Corporate worship, when we gather, creates holy awareness. It creates a holy awareness. This is why our prayer and worship nights just feel different. Because we're lifting up the name of God in faith, and something just feels different. This is why prayer gatherings carry another level of spiritual weight. Because we're gathered together, united in prayer. This is why people encounter God in rooms full of faith, because there's a holy awareness of God and the fact that he's in the room. Number five, the fifth practical benefit is this: purpose beyond existence. We have to have purpose beyond mere existence. Existence, what do I mean by existence? Existence is waking up, working, scrolling, repeating. Purpose is knowing your life is connected to something that actually matters. One of the reasons I became a pastor, aside from just sensing God a call of God in my life to do it was because I, at the end of my life, I sensed this as a young man, at the end of my life, I knew that I would have no problem looking back on my life with no regrets, knowing I devoted my entire life to the institution that matters eternally. I devoted my entire life to something that will live beyond me and impact people eternally. But you don't have to be a pastor to do that and to sense that. All you have to do is be activated as the church of Jesus Christ, saying, I want to be a part of what God is building around the world. I want to be clear though, church in itself doesn't give you purpose. God does. I want to be very clear about that. But church is often where purpose becomes clear. God is the one who gives you purpose. I don't give you purpose. The church as an institution doesn't give you purpose. But what we see over and over and over in the New Testament and beyond is purpose is found in the church. What do I mean? In the church, gifts, the gifts of the Spirit are often discovered, not just admired from a distance. Calling is activated, not just talked about. Faith moves from internal to impactful in other people's lives. When we're a part of a church that's on the move and building God's kingdom around the world. And I want to be very clear today, and I believe you believe, because you're here today, that you were made for more than just existing. In week one of this series, when I introduced the title of the series, there is more. What we talked about is the idea that there has to be more to life than just waking up and existing, going to bed, waking up, existing, going to bed, getting to the end of our lives, and then wondering what our lives were all about. There's more to that. And I believe what Jesus is building around the world can be one of the main ways in your life that you can find purpose and legacy that will last beyond your life. But there has to be a day where you choose, I'm going to move beyond just attending, and I want to become the church. I want to be the church. There's a story of a couple in our church that I have grown to love so much, and I met just a couple of years ago, of life change that's happened in their lives. And I was so inspired by this story, I asked them permission to tell their story, and they agreed to film a video. And this video is about 10 minutes, and then I'm gonna come back and wrap this up. But I just think this video is a beautiful demonstration of how God changes lives and how the church can help bring about purpose in our lives. Take a look.
I'm a 66-year-old man now, and I believe that I believed in God most of my life. And in fact, I was the oldest son with three younger sisters. My father was an officer in the Army, and my mom was a teacher. And regardless of where we lived or moved, my mom and dad had us in church. We didn't miss a Sunday. I still even have Bibles for perfect attendance. So I really grew up going to church in a Christian home. Over the next 40 years of my life, including having three children and eight grandchildren, I had a very successful business career. But it also included two divorces, a number of failed long-term relationships, and some incredible trouble and strain with my sisters and my kids, with my family members. When I was able to have the dramatic change that's happened in my life, it came towards the end of the pandemic. And it was just hitting me. It dawned on me how fast time had gone. I couldn't believe that I was already 61 years old. Everybody tells you how fast time goes, but it doesn't dawn on you until you find yourself at that age and realize, wow, what have I done? Where has my life gone? What have I been? Who am I? What's my legacy? What have I accomplished? I was sad. I was depressed. I felt like all I had done was focus on the money, property, and prestige. And I wasn't sure if I had or would even have a legacy. At the same time that that was happening, my then girlfriend, Anna, was invited to a barbecue. And while we were at the barbecue, I ran into an old friend of mine, and I said, I need help getting out of this and dealing with this. Would you be willing to work with me? And he said, are you willing to go to church at least twice a month? And I said, yeah, but I'm not sure what church I'd go to. And he said, I think you should go to the church of your youth. He said, on Tuesday nights, I want you to go down to the bosque and I want you to walk without your phone. You don't get to take Anna with you. I just want you to walk 20 minutes out and 20 minutes back, and I want you to pray and talk to God. He said, also, I want to meet with you once a week for an hour and a half. He said, we're going to develop a daily prayer and meditation practice that you'll do every morning. So for the next year, I did those things that he said. Usually when I would wake up in the mornings, I'd be having conversations with people when I'm in the shower. They're not even there. As I listened to more and more Christian music and started going to church more often, my conversations in the shower in the morning became more conversations with God. I was asking God to direct my thinking. I was asking God to help me not be in so much self-pity, to not be so dishonest, to not have such self-seeking motives. So then that night comes where my daughter texts me and says, hey, Dad, you want to come to our church on Sunday? And I said, sure, we can go to lunch afterwards. Anna and I then are driving home, and I said, hey, babe, tomorrow I'm going to go to church with Jessica. And then afterwards, we're going to go eat. And Anna said, what church is that? And I said, I think it's the old Copper Point. I think they call it Citizen Church. And she said, She said, I've heard of that church. In fact, I think I went there years ago. But Anna said, I'll go with you. That was probably one of the most significant moments that I now realize in our relationship. And so the next day, we went to this church, and it is like a madhouse if you've never been there before. Walking into this giant room with literally hundreds of people standing around talking. And we quickly went and met my daughter and her husband. They dropped off their kids. And then we went in and sat on their row next to them. And the music started. And it was the exact same contemporary Christian music that we had been listening to on the radio for the last year. So that was awesome. And I kept looking over at Anna, and she was loving it. From the very first day.
I said yes and went and just sort of had an open mind and an open heart and was really surprised by how warm it felt, how at home pretty quickly it felt. And it was just a nice sort of refreshing change to our routine. It was different. We were doing it with family, so it made it feel like a togetherness that we didn't necessarily have before. Just a hunger for more God and more growth in my life, and not knowing that the church was going to be the tool to do that.
You know, the rest is history. After that Sunday, Anna and I, if we're in town, we haven't missed a Sunday at church. We got really lucky because the same row that my daughter sat on is where this man and woman, Jodan and Devonna Lowry, sat on the same row, and they liked that row too. So because of that, I would end up sitting next to them every Sunday. And so then, you know, it began with a little, oh, hi, how are you? And then when the pastor say at the end, turn to someone next to you and say good morning, we started saying good morning. We started joking around a little bit because I wanted the aisle seat, but Jodan got the aisle seat. We're both very tall, but I let him have it because he was already going there. And he knew more people there than I. And so we kind of started talking to each other and getting to know each other. And then one Sunday, Devonna just said, hey, would you guys like to go to dinner?
You can walk in the doors and you can say hi, but that's not all there is. When you go beyond the hello, that's when you get the communion. And you get the communion, not just with the people, but you get it through the Holy Spirit, through God helping you to have communion with those people. And we feel like we have friends, we have a community that we can call on for, you know, fun things, serious things, whatever, but we have a community.
And like Dustin says, when you can fellowship and when you have accountability, you become a better person. And so everybody we meet makes us a better person, good or bad, if we are funneling it through God.
Just all the Sundays and all the events we were attending, I saw how on fire Anna was for everything that she was going through. And I wanted to support that and encourage it. So without telling her, I signed up to be baptized the same time she was. Everything about Citizen Church and God's message has emphasized to me the importance of having God at the center of our marriage and our relationship. And FYI, we were living together in sin for like 6 years prior to this. So we couldn't continue to do that with what the Holy Spirit was speaking to us and what the messages were. And so as a result of our attendance there, we decided we wanted to be married. And I asked Anna to marry me in August of 24. My main thing is for my kids and my grandkids to come to know Christ the way I have. I know that that's what my legacy is now.
What an incredible, incredible story and reminder. This story has impacted me so much because I've been able to watch it from the very beginning, and they're just such real, normal people searching for meaning in life. Let me tell you something. You find meaning through Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross. You find salvation there. But you find family and people who will help carry you through life in the church. And I believe today that stories like this are what keep me going as a pastor. Stories like this can be a reminder to all of us that that can be your story if it isn't. But also, this is why we do this. Every person on our serve teams, that story is a reminder that what you do matters. Every time we go to a small group and encouraging people, that story is a reminder of what we do and what we're a part of actually matters. That is a miracle that we just witnessed, and we get to be a part of a miracle, the Church of Jesus Christ. Would you guys stand with me today? I want to show a slide real quick before we end in our prayer declaration. This slide has a QR code. And then also a website. And I want you to remember this. It's super easy, citizen.church/more, or you can go to this QR code. Where this takes you is a landing page on our website. It's a very quick landing page we made this week that is a gateway to all involvement as the church. I don't want to preach this sermon and then go, all right, guys, see ya. We want to empower you. If you're at a place, and faith is a journey for everyone, but I believe everyone, your responsibility is to take the next step in your journey of faith. And I think there's a lot of people today, your next step is to move from coming and sitting and watching to actually being a part of the body of Christ. That QR code will take you to everything we have as a church for involvement, being on serve teams, small groups, alpha, grief share. There's so many things we offer as a church, but we can only do so much in saying, this is what we have. It's up to you to take the next step and say, I want to be a part of the anchor that for my family and I that can be the anchor every week for the rest of our lives. So what I want us to do today is pray a prayer of declaration like we are every week at the end of the sermons in this series. And this one is no different. If you guys can throw that up real quick, that prayer declaration. I will read it. Is it up there? Do we have it? There it is. Okay, there it is. I'm gonna read this out loud, and I want you guys to read it out loud with me. And this is just a declaration, a prayer about the church, what it is, anchored in scripture. Read this with me out loud as I read. God, we thank you that you are present among us and at work in us. You did not call us to follow you alone, but to be formed together. Anchor our lives in what is true when everything else is shifting. Shape us as your people. Awaken purpose in us, not just to believe, but to participate. Show us our place and our next step. Use what you've placed in us to build your church and bless others. We say yes to what you are building. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.